Hello there. Welcome to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is Swanik Jaikumar. As you are aware, the intention of this podcast is to examine, from a high schooler's point of view, various professions beyond the basics by interacting with experienced professionals from various careers. Every day, we use thousands of different products for different purposes. We use phones to make calls. We use apps on those phones to check emails or add calendar entries. Everything from the alarm clock that wakes you up in the morning to the pillows we rest our heads on while lying down to sleep at night can be classified as a product. But have you ever wondered how these products make it from an innovator's mind to the physical or digital shelves of a store? That is the work of a product manager. Today's interview will be with Mr. Nate Wilhite, Director of Product Management for Prime Video Sports at Amazon. He has also worked on other Amazon products such as Kindle. Prior to joining Amazon, he was a lawyer at Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher LLP. And a consultant for BCG. We'll be discussing why Mr. Wilhite chose the product manager field and his journey to where he is today.
Hey there.
Hello, Mr. Wilhite.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good.
So I'll start with a brief introduction and jump right into the questions.
Okay, that sounds perfect.
I'm a junior right now at St. Mark's, so when I was considering what I want to do in college, I just knew I wanted to do something like probably in STEM or like biology specifically, but I wasn't sure if I was like missing out on something like very cool, like, I don't know, quantum mechanics or something like that. So I started this because whenever I like looked through the internet trying to find like the answers I was looking for, they weren't really there on the internet. So just trying to fill that gap. So as a high school student, understanding various professions and career paths seems to be a daunting task because there are so many choices available. And even if we hear about something, the exposure we get to these careers is very limited as a high schooler. So I would like to take you back to your high school days when you were thinking about college, career, et cetera. And I'm assuming you probably started like me with a bit of confusion or uncertainty in choosing the right path. So the goal is to just learn the lessons that you learned and see things from a different perspective. So I'll start with the first question. So when you were in high school, did you know what you wanted to become in your college career, et cetera? And were there any mentors or did your parents or anyone suggest anything to you or recommend anything?
Yeah, I had ideas of what I thought I wanted. So I was pretty interested in like finance, and I had done a bunch of like, you know, when I, my own stock investing and stuff like that, thinking that that was an area that I really wanted to go into. And so my grandfather was very involved in sort of mortgage banking. And so had, you know, was pretty financially literate and taught me a bunch of stuff. And so that's where I thought that I wanted to go. You know, obviously that changed a lot along the, you know, path between there and here and where I ended up, but that's what I thought I wanted to do. I guess I also didn't really know much about like what that would actually mean in practice. Like I thought it sounded interesting. It sounded like a cool idea, but I didn't actually know what it would mean in practice to do that. So
what were the different factors that you took into consideration when choosing your college?
I don't think I thought about it very strategically. I remember deciding based upon whether I liked the location of the college, whether or not I thought that the people I met on the tour seemed cool. I don't know. I was sort of made snap decisions that probably weren't very well informed about, you know, what I should be thinking about. I think I also, you know, I thought about like the academics and like how strong they were, but I don't think I really grokked at the time how important like a college decision is and how much it can sort of affect like the series of things that come after that. And for lots of reasons, I think I just sort of, you know, made a gut decision, for lack of a better way to describe it.
Okay. So when talking about colleges, there are plenty of options, like Ivy Leagues, top private colleges versus like top public colleges, and there are others to choose from. So aside from like the alumni network or some of the more obvious advantages of going to a college, how do you think, like, what role do you think a college plays in someone's career status or financial status?
It's unfortunate But I think, you know, the school that you go to, in many cases, can serve as sort of a entree or an entry point into sort of like, it allows you to sort of break into sort of other places that you might want to go to. So it's like a, obviously, when you think about the way that companies or even graduate schools operate, they don't have the time to go through every candidate from every school and try and, you know, assess, you know, all of the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who apply or want to get jobs someplace. And so one of the things you have to look at is, what are some ways that we can use sort of like a funnel criteria and make it easier for us to make decisions? And so I think it, what it really does is it opens doors that would not quite as easily be open from some places. Not that they can't be, you know, there's a lot to be said for people who graduate at the top of their class at, you know, schools that you may not have heard of. And it's a totally different experience for them to do so, but it's much harder for those people than it is for somebody who graduates in the middle of their class at, you know, a private Ivy League school. Like, I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. And as somebody now who looks at resumes all the time for people, one of the things I look at is like, okay, well, you know, I'm looking for smart people. I'm like, where did they go to school? Did they do well at that school? And so it feeds into sort of like our natural biases that we have as humans in terms of like the way that we want to make decisions quickly. And so that's where it helps in it. I'm not convinced that like it gives you a better education or any of that itself to go to like, you know, one of these sort of quote unquote like top schools, but I'm pretty sure it opens doors for you that otherwise would be much harder to open.
This is sort of a two-part question. So what made you choose product management over like other other options in that, in both like the business world? And I'm not sure whether, did you also study like information technology like before going?
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of choosing like a project manager or
yeah, like
system admins or stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, so I went to law school after college and then was an attorney for 3 years, and then I went to business school and I did consulting, and I ended up in product management and never really had an intention. Like I had not planned my career to get there. I didn't really even know what it was. It's sort of, I knew I wanted to do something. This was around 2011. I knew I wanted to do something in tech. I didn't really know what that meant. I thought it was like, obviously it's like a growing area where there's lots of opportunity to like make a career and, you know, do interesting, like world changing stuff. And so I interviewed for a job at Amazon to do product management for the Kindle at the time. And I had zero idea what actual product management entailed. The job description told to me was, you know, make the reading experience more engaging. And that was just like what my role would be, and work with engineers to build that. And so there were, you know, a couple months in, I distinctly remember asking my manager at the time, like, what am I actually supposed to be doing as like a product manager? Like, what's my role? And, you know, that's pretty classic with product because it's a very ambiguous space, and you sort of, there's not like a well-defined role of what you do. Oftentimes it's a little bit more ambiguous, and you're just sort of the person who's got to make sure that, I always tell people, we got to make sure that all the, like the trains run on time and that like the project's continuing to move. Like you got to make sure the ball's continuing to roll downhill or roll, you know, ahead and keep it moving. So to answer your question, I had no plans to go to product. I hadn't really thought that that's what I would want to do. All I knew was that I wanted to be working in an area where I thought the work would be interesting, challenging for me, and would be an area where I would have the opportunity to, potentially like grow my career. And so that's sort of like how I ended up there. I never studied IT. I didn't ever study engineering. I had no technical background. I never took CS in, you know, or any CS classes like in undergrad or graduate school. Because I never really had thought I would, you know, end up in that sort of field. and hadn't planned on it. The closest it came was when I did some consulting projects. I did some work with some engineering organizations and like chief technology officers that I was able to spin during my interviews into like acting like I knew what I was talking about. But yeah, I certainly did not have the background going into it at all.
The job of like being a product manager often mm-hmm. involves like taking a product from like start to finish. It's sort of like,
yeah,
like running your own business sort of like within another bigger business.
Yeah, that's one way to think about it.
So is that like, could you like, you said that's one way to think about it. Is that actually true? And does this like, you mentioned earlier, you wanted to become like an entrepreneur, but you weren't exactly mm-hmm. sure what that entailed. So is this sort of like a stepping stone you're using to like?
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm a big believer in sort of like taking sort of career paths at like 2 or 3 years at a time and like not trying to like look too far ahead. So I don't know where this will eventually land or lead to me, but to just sort of like articulate the way that I think about product is product management is all about converting like an idea, and it may be the product manager's idea, it may be somebody else's idea. It's all about, you have to be the one to convert that idea into an actual product and feature that is like there for the customers of the product. So customers could be like, it could be an internal tool, it could be an external product that like end users or consumers use, it could be anything like that. But your role is to take that initial idea and do whatever it takes to make sure that that thing gets out and is a great experience for the end users. You may also be the one to come up with the ideas as well. Sometimes, like not always, and I don't think it's like the exclusive role of a product manager to be the one to do that, but great if you're able to think about that and be the one who's sort of coming up with those ideas. And you know, I always tell people that if you are like on my team, I'm like, if you are a product manager for a feature or a product and it gets delayed, it runs late, that may be because it's the fault of some other team that, you know, didn't do what they were supposed to do. But like as the product owner and the product manager, I'm going to blame you because you should either have figured that out in advance, anticipated those challenges, figured out a way to get around them, or raised the red flag really early on in the process and said, hey, we're going to have like a problem and we should have figured out a different, you know, an alternative solution. You know, that's your job as the product manager, is to like anticipate those problems, help avoid them, you know, to make sure that the thing keeps getting, you know, or goes on time and gets launched. That's why sometimes it's a hard role for people, because the actual job every day is very, very different. You know, some days you may be working with the design team. Some days you may be working with the engineering team. Some days you may be just like reporting to executives. Some days you may be, you know, just working on like big picture ideas or like, there's all kinds of things. And like the job is going to be very, very different every single day. And as a general, you're not going to have anybody telling you what you should be doing on that day. Instead, you got to figure out like, how's your time best spent to make sure that that product is making progress towards like a launch. That's the way that I sort of think about it. To answer the other question, yeah, I don't really know where it's going to lead me. And I try not to worry about that too much. As long as I keep trying to find interesting things to work on and things that I'm excited about, like and keep trying to learn and develop new skills and stuff like that, you know, I'm going to be happy with it. So
you're talking a little bit earlier about how like you went to law school and then you changed like careers. Mm-hmm. Like that. So you're talking about also like you take everything step by step. How does everything sort of fall into place, and how did you overcome any doubts or hesitation that you had?
I mean, so I like to frame things a lot as one-way doors versus like two-way door decisions. And so as an example, you know, what that means essentially is if you go through a one-way door, it means it's very, very difficult to reverse course and go back. It might be like extremely painful or like maybe not possible at all. And if you go through two-way doors, it means like you can just pretty, not easily, but you can go through back and front. You can go back, change your mind, you know, and go back. And we use that at Amazon. We use that framework a lot sort of in our decision-making because it allows us to move faster and make decisions quicker. Because if you're making a decision on a two-way door, it's a much easier to reverse course. But if it's a one-way door decision, you got to really spend a bunch of time thinking about it because it's, you know, harder to reverse. So I use that same thinking generally, or I have in the past, for career moves and sort of where things are going. So as an example, when I was an attorney, I was like, it was fine. I was not super happy with the job, but it was fine. And it paid really well at the time. And I decided at some point that I wanted to go to business school because I wanted to see sort of what other options were out there. I thought about it and I said, you know, I can go to business school. And if it turns out that I really don't like this work or whatever happens after business school, I can go back and become an attorney. I can stay, you know, go back to being an attorney. That's not like off the table for me. So it's fine. And similarly, after when I was, you know, leaving business school, I went to become a consultant, like a management consultant. I enjoyed that. But, you know, when I started looking around at opportunities and ended up with this role at Amazon, a lot of the people that I worked with thought it was a bad idea to go, you know, they thought it was, you know, relatively risky to be going to a place like Amazon, which is sort of ironic to think about now, but that's what they said at the time. And, you know, because it was like, so we were still like pretty fresh out of the financial crisis, only, you know, a couple years out. And so it was, you know, it was just a time when people maybe weren't taking as many risks. And so I looked at that again as like, well, if I go to Amazon and I don't like this job, because I don't really even know what the job is at this point, if I go to it and I don't like it, I'll just go back to being a consultant. No big deal. Like nobody's going to, you know, you do a good job when you're in those roles and people will always want you back. They're not going to say, oh, well, you left, you can't ever come back again. So that's sort of the way that I look at it, and try not to overburden the decision too much about like what might change. And, you know, similarly, you know, I've changed roles within Amazon, changed jobs. And like, generally it's like, well, if I don't like this, like I'll figure something else out. It'll be fine. Like it's not the end of the world. I don't have to know everything and be 100% sure before I make a decision. So
before we shift gears a little bit to mm-hmm. different types of questions, what role would you say your St. Mark's education has played, like through college and even now?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think for me, the most important thing is sort of like having a level of like intellectual curiosity and wanting to learn and develop and, you know, try out new things. That to me, not only does it like allow you to sort of be more successful in your role in whatever you're doing, but it also enables you to stay interested, because your job is always going to be changing because you're sort of interested and you're willing to like take on these new tasks or risks or whatever. So I think that's one definite thing. I think though, like there's no doubt to me that like sort of the academic rigor you get is extremely beneficial, especially when you get to like, you know, university or whatever, because when you do, you're already sort of used to that experience of like that sort of those academics. And certainly, I think, find like, at least for me, it was like much easier to adjust, I think, to the sort of like expectations. So I think those are like two of the most valuable things, most likely. I mean, that's what I take away or took away.
So now we're going to change to like questions about changing the past. So yeah. Given your current exposure to different various fields and all the knowledge you have right now, if you could go back in time, what would you do differently? Is there anything that you, I guess, that you regret or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that I regret when I look back on it was I was really interested in finance, but like, if I am willing to be, you know, admit it to myself, I think a real reason that I was very interested in finance was I thought that's where I could make a lot of money. And I thought that was like the path to like being super successful and making a lot of money. Not that I was like, that sounds like a really fun job or really interesting. And so, you know, for an earlier part of my life, that's like what I sort of was, you know, focused on was like, how do I get into that role that allows me to make a lot of money? And what I didn't know at the time, which I've sort of discovered since, is that A, there's a lot of roles that, you know, you can do financially well in. But even more important than that is if you really like what you're doing and you are enjoying it and it's sort of like intellectually stimulating and all these other things, you're way more likely to be successful in your job, which is, you know, going to be highly correlated to, you know, being financially successful too. You know, there's some roles that, you know, that's not, or some jobs that's not ever going to happen, and that's fine too. But I think I would have like not been as fixated on like, where could I have made, you know, a lot of money? And like, instead, like, what do I think sounds really, really cool and interesting? You know, as an example, when I left Boston Consulting Group to go to Amazon, I took about a 50% pay cut to go to Amazon. And at the time, I didn't realize that in the end, it would be a much better financial decision just based on like sort of where Amazon's growth has gone. But I did think that the work was going to be way more interesting and exciting. And so, you know, I think there's just Whereas like I had done fine at BCG and I, you know, had gotten promoted and stuff, but like I didn't really enjoy the work and I resented like having to do a lot of the work sometimes because I was like, this is just really fucking stupid work and like not interesting or valuable. And so, I think that would be my like regret, for, like what I would have changed there. I also, and I mentioned this at the sort of the start, I would have probably tried to have done better academically in college because I, you know, didn't realize until much later in terms of like when I was working on like admissions for like my graduate schools, I didn't realize how important sort of like, you know, your college grades were in terms of like setting you up for other things. And it's really, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's just the opportunities that are open to you if you are in the top, you know, X percent of your college class versus the top, you know, Z percent, it's really, really pretty different. And so I didn't really realize at the time, and it wasn't until, I really didn't realize that until law school, which is when I actually really started like trying to study. Like I found college very easy. And, like I didn't really have to study and it was just pretty simple for me. But I just did average, you know, like B's, like very average. I just didn't realize the difference in like what opportunities would be presented to me if I'd like really tried hard versus like not. And so that's why when I, you know, learned in law school and business school that like if I studied, I can do really well, the opportunities and the things that are open to you at that point are like wildly different. And so that's not to say that like college should be only about studying, because it shouldn't be, but I wish I had realized at the time how important that was and how like how the effort then sort of set you up for like a totally different track, like career-wise.
This is also a sort of a two-part question. What important skills do you think, or that do you wish that you had before joining college and then before joining the work world?
Yeah, that's a great question. Before going to college, I think, you know, one of the things that I wish I had, I wish I had figured out a little more easily how to be sort of like a self-starter in sort of learning and, you know, participation in classes and stuff like that. Because, you know, like the way St. Mark's was set up, you have like these smaller classes, obviously. But in college, you know, you've got these, you know, massive lectures for a lot of classes. You know, you might have 50 people, you might have 100, you might have 250. And so it's just a totally different environment. And I wish I had figured out what's the best way to sort of like learn and, you know, get involved in the class and sort of like really appreciate that learning when you had the opportunity. So that's, I guess that's the skill I would say there. And in going into the workforce, I think being comfortable, you know, presenting to management and leaders is something that's just so important, and it gets you an immense amount of credibility if you're able to do that. And like sort of gives you sort of, it's like a, you know, a really important skill to have. I wish I had done more time and focused more on like learning about sort of extemporaneous speaking and getting in front of leaders and like, how do you sort of actually, you know, manage those communications and do it really well earn the trust of sort of senior leaders like that.
Do you wish that you sort of had an IT background for your job?
Oh, for sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely wish like if I could go back, I would love to have like studied, even just like, although it would be totally outdated at this point. But I would have loved to have spent some time learning computer science basics at the time. I've managed to succeed in spite of that to date, but I would definitely be better off if I had spent some time learning that. And now, you know, that being said, like there's tons of opportunities now, like for me to do it. And I just don't make the time to do it. You know, there's like all kinds of boot camps and like online classes you can learn, like tons of different ways. And I don't make the time for it. So, you know, it's obviously not like the highest priority for me. But I do wish I had done that and spent that, you know, spent some time better understanding it.
Before we also chip into the section, what is the best advice you can think of for a junior or a senior that's like applying to college or in that process in high school?
Yeah, I think I would say like think long and hard about the decisions and like what your decision criteria are for schools. And there's a lot of good decision, good things to take into account, you know, where your friends are going and like how close you are to home and like costs and all those things are like super important. And you should like take those into account, but figure out, what do you want to get out of the experience? Do you want to have fun? That's one set of criteria. Do you want to, you know, learn a specific area that, you know, your college is like set up for? Like, that's another sort of thing. Do you want to give yourself sort of the broadest opportunities coming out? That's another sort of like thing. So just think like really like sit down in advance and say like, what are the key decision criteria that I want to use in terms of like making a decision on where to go? Because like I did not have that. And so I'm just making like a, you know, sort of not spur of the moment, but pretty close to spur of the moment decision. And the other thing is, if you think about that in advance, like before you actually get into the selection process, you're going to be better off because you're going to have sort of like thought it through really hard, and it's thought it through in advance, and you're less likely to make like an emotional decision based upon whether the people you met on the tour seemed cool, like I did, and more likely to do it, you know. It shouldn't be, it's not like a business decision, but it also, you should, you know, you have to think a little bit strategically about it as well.
So now we're going to try to understand a little bit more about your job.
Okay. So
if you're looking to hire a fresh graduate from, mm-hmm. from college or from like graduate school, what are the characteristics? You were talking earlier about like grades and also mm-hmm. where they went are pretty crucial, but aside yeah. from those, what experiences or criteria would yeah. you consider to be very important?
I think there's a couple things. One is somebody who is super comfortable with like ambiguity, because, and somebody who doesn't need like day-to-day direction all the time. So, and those are sort of tied together, but they, you know, I would want somebody who you can hire, who you can say like, hey, this is like what you're working on, and here's five people to go talk about. And then that's sort of it. And you sort of set them loose and they go sort of figure out what they need to do. Ambiguity is in that case means not like clear direction. I'm like, you know, hey, every day, here's like the tasks that you need to accomplish. But it also means like ambiguity around like, how are we going to get from point A to point B? Like, I'm not going to spell that out for you. And so you'd sort of just need to figure that out. And so having some examples of a situation where you've been given a problem and you haven't been given a clear direction on like, how are you going to go solve this problem, or what are the steps you should take, but you've had to figure that out for yourself, is really important. And like, I mean, I ask that in every interview that I'm talking to somebody about, like, you know, to try and assess whether they can get comfortable with that level of ambiguity. The second thing that I really look for is someone who's, you know, somebody who's sort of hungry. And so they're willing to be like an owner. And what that means to me is they don't want to like stick to their like box that you're given, but they look to take on other sort of responsibilities and tasks beyond that because they are curious
and because they want to learn. Right. And so like thinking about that is to me super important. Yeah. They just like, they're not solely focused on like the task at hand, but they actually are sort of looking to spread their wings and take on more. So like that is, you know, a bit of a challenge, but that's like one of the things that I certainly would focus on.
Sort of an offshoot question off of that. How would you assess like being comfortable with ambiguity or?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the way that I assess it is I generally like ask a question like, tell me a time you were given a problem, but nobody provided you with the direction on how you should solve it. And so, you know, it's like super open-ended. It's just about, you know, you knew you had to do this thing or solve this thing, but like you didn't have any direction and nobody sort of said, oh, this is the steps that you should take. You know, there's other ways you can assess it. Like for somebody who's been in the job for a while, you might say something like, tell me a time about like the last time you started your job. Like, tell me about like how you learned about what you should do, like what your day-to-day responsibilities would be, stuff like that. Or tell me a time that you were presented with an issue, but there was no clear owner for it. And there was no, you know, no clear line of responsibility or nobody to track down. Like, how did you start? Like, what did you do? How did you, you know? So those are sort of like the ways that I try and get at it. But it's all about like problem solving in the absence of like any sort of like clear guidance or history.
So based on what you were talking about earlier in terms of like what exactly a product manager does, it seems like there's a lot on a product manager's shoulders. So mm-hmm. how do you maintain a work-life balance, and what is your take on that concept?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's my take on it. First, I think that in the first 6 months you take on a new, you go to a new company or take a new, get a new job or take on a new role within a company, you should be willing to give up your work-life balance, which I know sounds terrible, but like the reason I say that is I've learned that if you spend, if you work your ass off for that first 3 to 6 months and really show that you are willing to like put in a ton of time and effort and like learn and go above and beyond, you're going to earn the trust of your superiors and your peers. And at that point, you've, you know, everybody's like anchored, like they've got a bias now that they've anchored, like you are a great worker, you're like super responsible, da da da. And so it's much harder to later change that to make people think that like, oh, you're not that responsible, or you're not that hard of a worker. Whereas if you start out not doing that, it's much harder to do the inverse and change people's minds into thinking that you are somebody who can be counted on and, you know, all these other things. So that's the first thing I would say is like, you know, just expect that the first 6 months are kind of going to suck. And they should. You're learning a lot, but you're also proving yourself. And like people look to you in that first 6 months, they're looking for you to prove yourself. The second thing that I've found about how you maintain any semblance of work-life balance is in any given day, there's 120% of my hours that I should be spending working, like my work hours on stuff. So there's like 120% of the time that I have with tasks to do. And so one of the most important things that you can learn or figure out is like, what are those 20% of things that you're just not going to do, that just you're going to drop? Like, because they're not important, or they're not urgent, or they're just kind of meaningless and like, you know, mundane tasks. You don't really need to do them. And that's super hard when you're starting out at a new place, because you don't really know enough yet to know what's important and what's not. But getting to that point where you can figure it out is incredibly important, because it allows you to maintain work-life balance, but it also allows you to scale across more work. And so when I mean that, like if you're able to assess like what is the stuff that I need to be working on, and you're able to figure out like what you don't need to be able to do, you're going to be able to take on more work with more different types of projects, because you're going to be able to be very smart about like how much time to spend on each and what's extraneous and you shouldn't be wasting your time on. So that to me is the way that I think about it. I, like most people, when I was in my 20s, like I probably worked way, way more than like I should have, you know, and worked really long hours and all those other things. And I would never, I could not like motivate myself to go back and do that now. But, you know, back then it was kind of fun. Like all of my friends, like were working at the office late when I was an attorney, and we would have dinner together and whatever. And so like, that was fine. Now to me, it's like, it's more about figuring out what does need to be done and what doesn't need to be done. And all of that gets easier as you get more senior, because you have more leverage to be able to tell people I'm not going to do this. And B, you have more experience. So you sort of know what's important.
Earlier, you were talking about compensation and how it's not like necessarily the most important mm-hmm. thing, and how you regretted like following that or chasing after that in your like attorney years and so yeah. on. So it is nonetheless a factor to consider. How would you say like the product management role, without going into specifics, in general, compensates compared to other similar professions or unrelated?
Yeah. Well, I think it does really well. I mean, I will admit it's been a long time since I sort of looked at compensation outside of, you know, product and engineering and stuff. But I think it does really well. And like, you can certainly make enough to have like a great life on it. You might not make as much as somebody who goes into, you know, private equity or something like that. You probably won't. And you might not make as much as, I don't know, some other jobs. But like, it's like, it's totally, you're very well compensated. And, you know, it's changed a lot. I should also mention, like, in the last 10 years, it's become a much more desirable field. And so compensation has like improved along with that. But I'm super comfortable. And like, you'll be well compensated, and you know, as compared to the vast majority of Americans. So but maybe there will always be people who are going to make more than you doing other roles or doing other jobs, and so you know, that's fine too.
How important would you say networking, communication skills, and also I guess like being able to write well are for being a
yeah. Insanely critical, like probably the most critical skills, because here's the reason, because as a product manager, you generally are not managing the teams that are actually doing any of the work to build your product. Like as you get more senior, yes, you might, but like when you're generally not. So what you're trying to do is get design to help, get some engineering teams to help, get like a program management team to support you. And you can brute force that by like getting, you know, your senior leadership to say, everyone must do this. And like that works some, but the far superior way is to build relationships with all of those people and help them understand why it's really important. And so the way that you accomplish that is one, through like networking and sort of like being an empathetic, you know, partner and all these things. And two, being a great writer, because if you can write really well, you're able to tell a story around why things are important. You're certain, and the other thing is, it's not just writing, like it's like understanding data, because if you have like, if you have the command of the data to show why something's important or why you should prioritize some work or anything like that, and you can write well around that, you're going to be, it's so critical and important. And so I would, I think you, those are like the most important factors that you can have as a good product manager, is definitely the ability to like earn trust of all of your colleagues and the ability to tell a good story and, you know, be able to present that in a way that earns the trust of like senior leaders too.
So we were talking a little bit about how you wished you had also done a little bit of like IT background to help you with your job. And certainly you also were talking about that you wanted to sort of do that, but it wasn't one of the main priorities you had. So what steps do you take to stay ahead of the industry?
Yeah. So there's a few things. One is I'm sort of in the weird mix of like, I work in both the product side, and I actually manage an engineering organization now as well. And I, but I also like interface regularly with like the business side. And I happen to work in the Amazon sports group. And so I work with them. And so I have to stay on top of sort of like the sports industry, as well as like, you know, engineering. So like, I just read, there's some people I follow on Twitter that are like super up to date in the industry. I also read some different blogs regularly, just to kind of stay up to date with what's going on. So like Hacker News is one, Product Hunt is another one, where there's sort of like people always debuting like, you know, new sort of like ideas or products. And then just general, like, I don't read as often as I used to, because I just don't make the time. But like TechCrunch was always great to sort of like keep up to date on what's happening. And then, you know, with a bunch of like Web3 stuff now that's around crypto and everything like that, there's a ton of like online resources that are just published that you can sort of read up on as well to better understand it. So yeah, so I try and carve out time for it. Never carve out as much as I would like. I should spend more time, but you know, there's only so much time in the day.
Is there anything that you dislike about being a product manager, whether it be like sometimes the long hours or something like that?
I don't think so. That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything I dislike about it, other than, I mean, maybe it's like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was gonna say maybe it's that, you know, sometimes stuff just takes so much longer than you would like. And you know, you have an idea and you want to be able to execute on it like immediately, and stuff just takes a while. But no, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a great role. It, like, you know, it allows you to exercise so many different like muscles. And so I really like it because of that. So I can't think of anything that I don't like about it.
Okay. We're going to shift into the last section, which is just sort of like miscellaneous questions. So whenever like, I guess a high schooler or someone who's considering like what role or job they want to pursue in the future asks like an adult or somebody else who's already been through the experience, like, what do you think I'm good at? What do you think I should do? They're often met with like a cliche statement, like follow your passion or something like that. So what is your opinion on this statement? Do you think it's like really helpful, or how important do you think passion is for a career?
I think I wouldn't put the word passion on it, because I don't really know what I'm passionate about. What I look for are things that I think are going to be fun and interesting. And I sort of do, like I said before, maybe I do like, I recheck that every 2 years. So like I've had like 3 careers at this point between being an attorney, a management consultant, and now product. And the reason I've changed, and within product, I've had 3 different roles. I was like on the Kindle team. I led the international launch of Prime Video, like our streaming service. And now I lead like our Amazon sports team. And the reason I've changed each my career and like roles each time is because I just started to get bored and was like, I'm not really interested in what I'm working on anymore. And so I don't think, I would not say follow your passion, but what I would say is look for roles that you think and things that you're going to be excited about and you think sound interesting to do. And don't worry too much about like, well, is this going to set me up for like the next thing, you know, 3 or 5 years from now? Is this like the career path that I want to be on? Because you'll sort of figure that out. And I just like, I'm such a believer there's like so few one-way doors in a career that like go do something for 2 years. If you don't like it, or you're like, oh, this isn't like what I thought it would be, go find something else to do. You know, it's easier said than done, obviously, but like, I don't know. I think if you like, A, it's like impossible to know what you're passionate about. And like I said, I don't even know, you know, at this point in my life, what I'm really passionate about. I mean, I have some ideas, but none of them are like work related. And I don't know. I don't believe you have to be like passionate about your work in order to like enjoy your work and like be successful at it either.
Okay. So how has technology and social media shaped this field? And especially since it's evolving so much all the time.
Yeah, I mean, so two things. One is, I think the biggest, one of the biggest areas that has changed for us is how quickly product changes and features, we're able to like gauge customer sentiment on them through social media. Cause like customers tell you pretty darn quickly whether they think something's stupid or good, or they like it or they don't like it, or all these kinds of things. So you're able to assess really quickly that. And I think that's a change. It used to be you have to get like customer feedback forms and like all this other bullshit, right? And now you can just go onto Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or whatever. People like let you know how they think of like what your stuff or how your features and stuff work and what have you. LinkedIn has also been like a massive shift for like hiring and finding candidates. That's where I get, you know, many of my candidates from for my jobs is through LinkedIn, because I, you know, will post something and, you know, I posted something the other week and about, you know, trying to hire people. We're doing Thursday Night Football and we announced who our announcers will be for Thursday Night Football. And so I posted something about that, you know, and it got, I don't remember how many people like liked it or commented on it, but like it got like 10,000 views. And I got, you know, 15 different candidates who messaged me through that about like interested in roles. And so LinkedIn's been a huge sort of shift in terms of getting the word out about your jobs and helping sort of recruit. It's also very, very helpful if you are on the receiving end of the recruiter calls. Like, I mean, I probably get 3 or 4 recruiters a week reaching out about different roles at other companies and stuff like that. And so LinkedIn has been it's transformative in terms of like how recruiting and finding people like in tech works for sure. And I don't know I assume it's the same in other fields, but I'm not 100% sure. In tech though, it's like the way that people find, you know, other candidates.
So often when joining a new job, having like a mentor or somebody to look up to,
yeah,
or an ideal person is pretty useful. So if you could sort of hypothetically create a new like product manager with like the perfect skills, attributes, everything, what characteristics would this person have?
You mean as like a mentor or just mean like as somebody that would be on my team?
Either way.
Okay. I mean, to me, for product, it's like ownership, understanding of data, like being able to use data, going back to what you said earlier about like networking and earned trust, being able to like build relationships with all their counterparts, super strong communication skills, being able to tell a story about the product and communicate about it. Yeah. And then I guess the last one is the thing we maybe started with or talked about earlier is like comfort with ambiguity, because like it's very rare. Like I, like as a leader, don't like to give people direction. Like really, that sounds bad. I don't like to give people like very like nuanced direction. I just kind of give them broad direction. And so being comfortable with that and being able to sort of like go out and execute on your own is like, you know, very important. So having that set of skills is like the stuff that I think is really important. And, you know, I also think just sort of raw horsepower and intelligence, like, because it makes you more flexible and you can sort of like get into any situation and sort of like understand it is also really important. Harder to judge though.
I think this will be the final question. Yeah. So many CEOs either come from like a product management background or like a business background. So you sort of have like a mix of both, because do you think there's like one better way to approach that? And is that a goal on your list? To become a CEO, especially.
Yeah, I don't know. Product is a great way to sort of like learn and grow sort of like an understanding of like how things operate and how to get shit done. I, you know, you could go like a business background and like that's way, and you'll probably be more understanding of like finance and like understand, you know, numbers a bit more. And that's fine too. I don't think there's like one better way than another. I don't know that I have that ambition really, like, because I'm really just enjoying like building stuff and like launching new capabilities or features and things to customers. But I don't know, never say never. If there's something that sounded like super fun or interesting, yeah, I'd probably be keen. But I don't know. You know, as you get more senior, one of the things that ends up happening, like not surprisingly, is you get more involved in like the administration of stuff and less in the actual like doing. So, you know, I spend more time now than I ever have in the past dealing with just the admin of like stuff. Like, you know, yesterday I was working on like, okay, for my team, like, where's everybody going to sit in our new office space? Like, how's that going to work? And like, so it's just kind of like less interesting stuff like that. And I think as you get more senior, you become a CEO, you're going to be doing even more of that stuff. And you're going to be still involved in the strategic work and decisions, but it becomes a lot more running a company instead of like sort of doing.
I know I said the last question was the last question, but I just thought of an extra question. So on a day-to-day basis, what are some of the decisions or tasks that you have to complete? Like, obviously, there's no like set definition. So how do you sort of approach that and make sure you stay on top of things that need to get done?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's really hard. So every day is totally different. I spend most of my time, for better or worse, in meetings because, you know, with the I have a fairly sizable team. And so most of my day is spent working with them, helping them accomplish their goals, reviewing their documents, helping unblock them if they've run into challenges, things like that. So I do spend a fair amount of time doing that, but, you know, also try to get involved in sort of like in those meetings, like help guide the strategy and stuff like that. There's less time ever than, you know, I have done in the past where I'm sort of like actually the doer of the work, like writing the documents and like, you know, doing the analysis or whatever, but that's okay. It's just like, you know, careers change and you sort of become more senior and change. But the way that I try and stay on top of it is I have like a notepad that I like keep by my computer that, you know, I try to keep a running to-do list of like things that need to get done. And so I can like check them off. And I'm like old school where I like to write it down and like literally have like a little box and like check the box when it's like done. Some days I get like super busy. I don't even get to like write things down. And so, you know, it's not a perfect system, but it's the best system that I've been able to find around like tracking and making sure that I get all the stuff that I need to get done and stay on top of stuff. But, you know, there's no perfect solution. I've never really found a perfect system to do it.
All right. Thank you for taking time to address these questions.
Thanks, man. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your valuable time with this podcast. I hope you found this useful. To get notified about future episodes, please subscribe or follow Pathfinder 101 on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Also, please visit Pathfinder101.com for more content. If the blog or podcast added some value to you, please like and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks again for your time and have a great rest of your day.